as Christ saith, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, Matthew chapter 5, verse 25, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence. There is the gulf, the decree, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing, or very last mite. Luke chapter 12, verses 58 and 59. These words, therefore, there is a great gulf fixed, I do understand to be the everlasting decree of God. God hath decreed that those who go to heaven shall never go from thence again into a worse place, and also those that go to hell would come out, they shall not come out thence again. And friend, this is such a gulf, so fixed by him that cannot lie, that thou wilt find it so, which way soever thou goest, whether it be to heaven or hell. Here therefore thou seest how secure God will make those who die in the faith. God will keep them in heaven, but those that die in their sins, God will throw them to hell and keep them there, so that they that would go from heaven to hell cannot, neither can they come from hell that would go to heaven. Mark, he doth not say they would not, for, oh, how fain would these who have lost their souls for a lust, for two pence, for a jug of ale, for a strumpet, for this world, come out of that hot, scalding, fiery furnace of God's eternal vengeance, if they might but hear, is their misery. They that would come from you to us, that is, from hell to heaven, cannot. They must not. They shall not. They cannot. God hath decreed it, and has resolved the contrary. Here, therefore, lies the misery. Not so much that they are in hell, but that they must lie forever and ever. Therefore, if thy heart would at any time tempt thee to sin against God, cry out, No! For then I must go to hell and lie there forever. If the drunkards, swearers, liars, and hypocrites did but take this doctrine soundly down, it would make them tremble when they think of sinning. But, poor souls, now they will make a mock of sin, Proverbs 14, verse 9, and play with it as a child doth play with a rattle. But the time is coming that these rattles that now they play with will make such a noise in their ears and consciences that they shall find that if all the devils in hell were yelling at their heels, the noise would not be comparable to it. Friend, thy sins, as so many bloodhounds, will first hunt thee out, Numbers 32, verse 23, and then take thee and bind thee and hold thee down forever, Proverbs 5, verse 22. They will grip thee and gnaw thee as if thou hadst a nest of poisonous serpents in thy bowels, Job chapter 20, verse 14. And this will not be for a time, but, as I have said, forever, forever, forever. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. The verses before, I told you, were spoken partly to hold forth the desire that the damned have to be freed of their endless misery. Now this verse still holds forth the cries of those poor souls very vehement, that they would very fain have something granted to them, but it will not be, as will more clearly appear afterward. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, etc., as if he should say, seeing that I have brought myself into such a miserable condition, that God will not regard me, that my exceeding loud and bitter cries will not be heard for myself, seeing I must not be admitted to have so much as one drop of cold water, nor the least help from the poorest saints, and seeing, beside all this, Here my soul must lie to all eternity, broiling and frying. Seeing I must, whether I will or no, undergo the hand of eternal vengeance, and the rebukes of devouring fire, seeing my state is such, but I would not wish a dog in my condition. Send him to my father's house. It is worthy to be taken notice of again, who it is he desired to be sent, namely, Lazarus. Oh, friend, see here how the stout hearts and stomachs of poor creatures will be humbled, as I said before. They will be so brought down that those things that they disdained and made light of in this world, that they would be glad of in the life to come. He who by this man was so slighted, as that he thought it a dishonor that he should eat with the dogs of his flock. What shall I regard Lazarus, scrubbed, beggarly Lazarus? What, shall I so far dishonor my fair, sumptuous, and gay house with such a scabbed creep hedge as he? No, I scorn he should be entertained under my roof, thus in his lifetime while he was in his bravery. But now he has come into another world, now he is parted from his pleasures, now he sees his fine house, his dainty dishes, his rich neighbors and companions, and he are parted asunder. Now he finds, instead of pleasures, torments, instead of joys, heaviness, instead of heaven, hell, instead of the pleasures of sin, the horror and guilt of sin. Oh, now said Lazarus. Lazarus, it may be, might have done him some good, if he might have been entertained in time past, and might have persuaded him, at least, not to have gone on so grievously wicked. But he slights him. He will not regard him. He is resolved to disown him, though he lose his own soul for so doing. I but now send Lazarus, if not to me, yet to my father's house, and let him tell them from me that if they run on in sin as I have done, they must and shall receive the same wages that I have received. Take notice of this, you that are despisers of the least of the Lazaruses of our Lord Jesus Christ. It may be now you are loath to receive these little ones of his, because they are not gentlemen, because they cannot, with Pontius Pilate, speak Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Nay, they must not, shall not speak to them, to admonish them, and all because of this. Though now the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ may be preached to them freely, and for nothing, nay, they are now desired to hear and receive it, though now they will not own, regard, or embrace these Christian pro-offers of the glorious truth of Jesus, because they come out of some of the basest earthen vessels. Yet the time is coming when they shall both sigh and cry, "Send him to my father's house," 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. I say, remember this, ye that despise the day of small things, the time is coming when you would be glad if you might enjoy from God, from Christ, or his saints, one small drop of cold water, though now you are unwilling to receive the glorious distilling drops of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Again, see here the lamentable state they are in, that go to hell from their fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, etc. While they are in this world, men delight to set their children ill examples, and also children love to follow the wicked steps of their ungodly parents. But when they depart this life, and drop down into hell, and find themselves in irrecoverable misery, then they cry to send somebody to my father's house, to my brother's house. Tell them my state is miserable. Tell them I am undone forever. Tell them also that if they will be walking in these ungodly steps wherein I left them, they will assuredly fall into this place of torments. I pray thee, send him to my father's house. Ah, friends and neighbors, it is like you to think little, it is like you little think of this, that some of your friends and relations are crying out in hell, "Lord, send somebody to my father's house to preach the gospel to them, lest they also come into these torments. Here, men, while they live, can willingly walk together in the way of sin, and when they are parted by death, they that are living seldom or never consider of the sad condition that they that are dead are descended into. But ye ungodly fathers, how are your ungodly children roaring now in hell? And you ungodly children, how are your ungodly parents that lived and died ungodly now in the pains of hell also? And one drunkard is singing on the ale bench, and another roaring under the wrath of God, saying, Oh, that I was with him! How would I rebuke him and persuade him by all means to leave off these evil courses? Oh, that they did but consider what I now suffer for pride, covetousness, drunkenness, lying, swearing, stealing, whoring, and the like. Oh, did they but feel the thousandth part thereof, it would make them look about them, and not buy sin at so dear a rate as I have done, even with the loss of my precious soul. Send him to my father's house, not to my father, but to my father's house. It may be there is ungodly children, there is ungodly servants, wallowing in their ungodliness. Send him therefore to my father's house. It is like, they are still the same that I left them. I left them wicked, and they are wicked still. I left them sliders of the gospel, saints and ways of God, and they do it still. Send him to my father's house. It is like there is but a little between them and the place where I am. Send him today, before tomorrow, lest they also come into the same place of torment. I pray thee that thou wouldst send him. I beg it on my bended knee with crying and with tears and the agony of my soul. It may be they will not consider if thou do not send him. I left them sottish enough, hardened as well as I. They have the same devil to tempt them, the same lust and world to overcome them. I pray thee, therefore, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. Make no delay, lest they lose their souls, lest they come hither. If they do, they are like never to return again. Oh, little do they think how easily they may lose their souls. They are apt to think their condition to be as good as the best, as I once through ignorance did. But send him without delay, lest they also come into this place of torment. Oh, that thou wouldst give him commission. Do thou send him thyself. The time was when I, together with them, slighted those that were sent of God, though we could not deny but that he spake the word of God and was sent of him, as our consciences told us, yet we preferred the calls of men before the calls of God. For though they had the one, yet because they had not the other in that anti-Christian way which we thought meet, we could not, would not, either hear him ourselves, nor yet give consent that others should. But now a call from God is worth all. Do thou therefore send him to my father's house. Continuing in A Few Sighs from Hell by John Bunyan, Part 5. The time was when we did not like it, except it might be preached in the synagogue. We thought it a low thing to preach and pray together in houses. We were too high-spirited, too superstitious. The gospel would not down with us unless we had it in such a place, by such a man. No, nor then neither effectually. But now, oh, that I was to live in the world again, and might have had that privilege to have some acquaintance with blessed Lazarus, some familiarity with that holy man, what attendance would I give unto his wholesome words? How would I affect his doctrine, and close in with it? How would I square my life thereby? Now, therefore, as it is better to hear the gospel under a hedge than to sit roaring in a tavern, it is better to welcome God's begging Lazaruses than the wicked companions of this world. It is better to receive a saint in the name of a saint, a disciple in the name of a disciple, than to do as I have done. Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Oh, it is better to receive a child of God that can, by experience, deliver the things of God, his free love, his tender grace, his rich forbearance, and also the misery of man, if without it, than to be daubed with an untempered mortar. Ezekiel 13, verse 10. Oh, I may curse the day that ever I gave way to the flatteries and fawnings of a company of carnal clergymen, but this, my repentance, is too late. I should have looked about me sooner, if I would have been saved from this woeful place. Therefore send him, not only to the town I lived in, and unto some of my acquaintance, but to my father's house. In my lifetime I did not care to hear that word that cut me most, and showed me mine estate aright. I was vexed to hear my sins mentioned, and laid to my charge. I loved him best that deceived me most, that said, peace, peace, when there was no such thing. Jeremiah 5, verses 30 and 31. But now, oh, that I had been so soundly told of it. Oh, that it had pierced both mine ears and heart, and had stuck so fast that nothing could have cured me, saving the blood of Christ. It is better to be dealt plainly with than that we should be deceived. They had better see their lost condition in the world than stay while they be damned, as I have done. Therefore send Lazarus, send him to my father's house. Let him go and say, I saw your son, your brother, in hell, weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth. Let him bear them down in it, and tell them plainly it is so, and that they shall see their everlasting misery if they have not a special care. Send him to my father's house. Verse 28. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. These words are, if I may so say, a reason given by those in hell why they are so restless and do cry so loud. It is that their companions might be delivered from those intolerable torments which they must and shall undergo if they fall short of everlasting life by Jesus Christ. Send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren. Though, while they lived among them in the world, they were not so sensible of their ruin, yet now they are passed out of the world, and do partake of that which before they were warned of. They can, I say, then cry out. Now I find that to be true indeed, which was once and again told and declared to me, that it would certainly come to pass. For I have five brethren. Here you may see that there may be, and are, whole households in a damnable state and condition, as our Lord Jesus doth by this signify, send him to my father's house. For they are all in one state. I left all my brethren in a pitiful case. People, while they live here, cannot endure to hear that they should be all in a miserable condition. But when they are under the wrath of God, they see it, they know it, and are very sure of it. For they themselves, when they were in the world, lived as they do. But they fell short of heaven, and therefore, if they go on, so shall they. Oh, therefore, send him quickly to my father's house, for all the house is in an undone condition, and must be damned if they continue so. The thing observable is this, namely, that those that are in hell do not desire that their companion should come thither. Nay, rather, saith he, send him to my father's house, and let him testify to them that are therein, lest they also come, etc. Question. But some may say, what should be the reason that the damned should desire not to have their companions come into the same condition that they are fallen into, but rather that they might be kept from it and escape that dreadful state? Answer. I do believe there is scarce so much love in any of the damned in hell as really to desire the salvation of any. But in that there is any desire in them that are damned, that their friends and relations should not come into that place of torment, it appears to me to be rather for their own ease than for their neighbor's good. For, let me tell you, This I do believe, that it will aggravate the grief and horror of them to see their ungodly neighbors in the like destruction with them. For where the ungodly do live and die, and descend into the pit together, the one is rather a vexation to the other than anything else. And it must needs be so, because there are no ungodly people that do live ungodly together, but they do learn ill examples one of another, as thus. If there live one in the town that is very expert and cunning for the world, why now the rest that are of the same mind with him, they will labor to imitate and follow his steps. This is commonly seen. Again, if there be one given to drunkenness, others of the town, through his means, run the more into that sin with him, and do accustom themselves the more unto it because of his enticing them, and also by setting such an ill example before them. And so if there be any addicted to pride, and must needs be in all the newest fashions, how do their example provoke others to love and follow the same vanity, spending that upon their lusts which should relieve their own and others' wants? Also, if there be any given to jesting, scoffing, lying, whoring, backbiting, junketing, wantonness, or any other sin, they that are most expert in these things do oftentimes entangle others, that peradventure would not have been so vile as now they are, had they not had such an example, and hence they are called corruptors. Now these will, by their doings, exceedingly aggravate the condemnation of one another. He that did set his neighbor an ill example, and thereby caused him to walk in sin, he will be found one cause of his friend's destruction, insomuch that he will have to answer for his own sins, and for a great part of his neighbor's too, which will add to his destruction, as that scripture in Ezekiel showeth, where, speaking of the watchman that should give the people warning, if he did not, though the man did die in his sins, yet his blood shall be required at the watchman's hand. Ezekiel 33. So here let me tell thee that if thou shouldest be a one, as by thy conversation and practices shall be a trap and a stumbling block to cause thy neighbor to fall into eternal ruin, though he be damned for his own sins, yet God may, nay, he will charge thee as being guilty of his blood, in that thou didst not content thyself to keep from heaven thyself, but didst also, by thy filthy conversation, keep away others, and cause them to fall with thee. O, therefore, wilt not this aggravate thy torment? Yea, if thou shouldest die and go down to hell before thy neighbor or companions, besides the guilt of thine own sins, thou wouldst be so loaden with the fear of the damnation of others to be laid to thy charge, that thou wouldst cry out, O, send one from the dead to this companion and that companion with whom I have society in my lifetime, for I see my cursed carriage will be one cause of his condemnation if he fall short of glory. I left him living in foul and heinous offenses, but I was one of the first instruments to bring him to them. Oh, I shall be guilty of both my own and his damnation too. Oh, that he might be kept out thence, lest my torment be aggravated by his coming hither. For where ungodly people do dwell together, they being a snare and stumbling block to one another by their practices, they must needs be a torment to one or one to another, and an aggravation of each other's damnation. O, cursed be thy face, saith one, that ever I set mine eyes on thee. It was long of thee, I may thank thee. It was thee that did entice me and ensnare me. It was your filthy conversation that was a stumbling block to me. It was your covetousness, it was your pride, your haunting the alehouse, your gaming and whoring. It was long of you that I fell short of life, if you had set me a good example, as you did set me an ill one, it may be I might have done better than I now do. But I learned of you, I followed your steps, I took counsel of you. Oh, that I had never seen thy face. Oh, that thou hadst never been born to do my soul this wrong as you have done. Oh, saith the other, and I may as much blame you. For do not you remember how at such and such a time you drew me out and drew me away and asked me if I would go with you when I was going about other business, about my calling, but you called me away. You sent for me. You are as much in the fault as I. Though I were covetous, you were proud. And if you learned covetousness of me, I learned pride and drunkenness of you. Though I learned you to cheat, you learned me to whore, to lie, to scoff at goodness. Though I, base wretch, did stumble you in some things, yet you did as much stumble me in others. I can blame you as you blame me, and if I have to answer for some of your most filthy actions, you have to answer for some of mine. I would you had not come hither. The very looks of you do wound my soul by bringing my sins afresh into my mind, the time when, the manner how, the place where, the persons with whom. It was with you, you. Grief to my soul, since I could not shun thy company there. Oh, that I had been without thy company here. I say, therefore, for those that have sinned together, to go to hell together. It will very much perplex and torment them both. Therefore, I judge this is one reason why they that are in hell do desire that their friends or companions do not come thither into the same place of torment that they are in. And therefore, where Christ saith that these damned souls cry out, send to our companions, that they may be warned and commanded to look to themselves. O, send to my five brethren. It is because they would not have their own torments heightened by their company, and a sense, yea, a continual sense of their sins, which they did cause them to commit when they were in the world with them. For I do believe that the very looks of those that have been beguiled of their fellows, I say, their very looks will be a torment to them. For thereby will the remembrance of their own sins be kept, if possible, the fresher on their consciences, which they committed with them, and also they will wonderfully have the guilt of the other sins upon them, and that they were partly the cause of his committing them, being instruments in the hands of the devil to draw them into. And therefore, lest this come to pass, I pray thee, send him to my father's house. For if they might not come hither, peradventure my torment might have some mitigation. That is, if they might be saved, then their sins will be pardoned, and not so heavily charged on my soul. But if they do fall into the same place where I am, the sins that I have caused them to commit will lie so heavy, not only on their souls, but also on mine, that they send me into eternal misery, deeper and deeper. Oh, therefore, send him to my father's house, to my five brethren, and let him testify to them, lest they come into this place of torment. These words being thus understood, what a condition doth it show them to be in then, that now much delight in being the very ringleaders of their companions into sins of all sorts whatsoever. While men live here, if they can be counted the cunningest in cheating, the boldest for lying, the archest for whoring, the subtlest for coveting and getting the world, if they can but cunningly defraud, undermine, cross, and anger their neighbors, yea, and hinder them from the means of grace, the gospel of Christ, they glory in it, taking pride in it, and think themselves pretty well at ease, and their minds are somewhat quiet, being beguiled with sin. But, friend, when thou hast lost this life, and dost begin to lift up thine eyes in hell, and seest what thy sins have brought thee to, and not only so, but that thou, by thy filthy sins, didst cause others, devil-like, to fall into the same condemnation with thee, and that one of the reasons of their damnation was this, that thou didst lead them to the commission of those wicked practices of this world, and the lusts thereof.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary, Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.